Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here with the Grapevine at SaverLife.com. And just this past week, maybe a little over a week ago, Rovology.com, a travel website, posted an article about 10 best things to do in the Finger Lakes, specifically in Finger Lakes countrysides. Which, not sure why they added the countrysides, but it is a... it's kind of a nice review of some of the cool places to visit. I was thinking, though, that, you know, you pick the 10 best in the Finger Lakes, you could really pick the 10 best in Geneva or the 10 best in, you know, in Hammondsport, perhaps Ithaca, maybe Seneca Lake or Cayuga Lake or Canandaigua Lake. You know, to pick just 10 from the Finger Lakes is not an easy task. So, you know, everyone would pick a different 10, I'm sure, but Rovology, this article by Teresa St. John, highlights, first and foremost, Anthony Road Wine Company. And this is fabulous winery. But one of the interesting things they say about Anthony Road, it says, one of the things that impressed me most was learning the winery was a family-owned business started by John and Ann Martini in 1973. Neither of them had an agricultural background when they set out on their winemaking journey. And it's a reminder that the Finger Lakes is a family-owned area. I mean, the wineries are family-owned. Really all of them, except for Canandaigua Wine Company, was just sold by Constellation Brands to Gallo, but they're a corporate entity that makes Arbor Mist, not really ever counted as one of the local wineries, which are all family-owned, and often multiple generations, two, three generations working or playing, if they're kids, at the wineries. So, and a reminder also in here that Anthony Road's tastings are by appointment right now. That may change this summer, but for now, they are by appointment. Also connected to the wine industry, the Staving Artist Woodwork Shop in Penn Yan. That's Dan Mitchell, who has been at Fox Run for a couple of decades and also does woodworking, especially using barrel staves, hence the Staving Artist. And a lovely photo they posted here, Rovology.com. You have to scroll down a little bit to find this article on the Finger Lakes, but worth doing. And talked a little bit about it yesterday on the Discover the Finger Lakes show. There's also Tabora is listed here, Tabora Farm and Winery, and their bakery, and a nice photo of the architecture, which I wondered what it was. The article says Cape Dutch article, architecture, but big bakery. What really struck me, and Tabora is not, you know, in a town. It's in the countryside. It has a very large bakery, and it seems like too big a bakery for that area. But I'm not complaining. It will surprise you probably when you go in and see what an extensive selection they have in the bakery. And so probably selling to people from around the region, not just right near the winery. But a really expansive bakery. Also part of this list, top 10 from Rovology, is Bellhurst Castle and Winery. And the one of the things they mentioned about Bellhurst, it's... not just one, but actually three unique hotels that are all in one kind of. So, and a restaurant, the Stonecutter's Tavern, and some excellent wines. They're also one of the only several wineries on Seneca Lake that are accessible by water, which is something that, you know, with summer coming, we'll talk about more. One of the other wineries accessible by water on Seneca Lake is also listed here, Miles Wine Cellars, and they're the haunting of their main building gets a big mention in this Rovology article with some background on the family that used to own it in the building, which is not on the main route. So again, most of the wineries are right on Route 14 or on the other side of the lake on 414, but Miles is down by the water, and it's a gorgeous Greek Revival home. And they talks a little bit about the how it came to be haunted potentially, and one of their wines is named Ghost at Miles Wine Cellars. And Verasians, at the end of this, their restaurant, also part of the top 10 list for the Finger Lakes. And they raved about the service, the food, the beautiful windows. They actually made a point of saying the streak-free windows overlooking Seneca Lake at sunset. And really seemed like they had a delicious dinner there. So again, other places listed here, those are more of the wine and food-related places. Also, the FLX Wienery is part of the top 10 list. And this is a pretty cool place if you haven't been to the Wienery. And it will probably amaze you at what can be done. They had a spiked vanilla milkshake as part of their meal there at the FLX Wienery. So, also, I saw this morning part of Christopher and Isabel's group of restaurants now, the Quincy Exchange in Corning, had a chilled octopus, bouillabaisse, I think, that was on their menu in Corning. So, if you haven't been down to Corning, that would be a good reason to go. I mentioned on the food show yesterday, and it's a old former bank that they renovated, did a fantastic job with that renovation, and then added another edition of their FLX Provisions wine shop, which is also in Geneva on Linden Street. So things are coming to life in the Finger Lakes, and one of the reasons you can tell, I've never seen so many help wanted, jobs available, looking for employees, postings from wineries and businesses in the Finger Lakes ever. You know, in the last 25 years I've been covering the Finger Lakes, I have not seen this many places hiring. And, I think many of them went well below their normal staff levels for this past year in the pandemic. And so they are just trying to get back to regular or close to regular levels, anticipating that the pandemic will subside. And in spite of the current news of more infections, that the vaccination rate, which continues to go up, and the record number of vaccinations, each week, they have ramped up production and accessibility, and so I think the wineries and restaurants in the Finger Lakes are planning ahead for what they anticipate will be a very busy summer. So if you are thinking about working in the wine industry and or restaurant industry in some form, whether it's working in the kitchen, working as a wait staff member in a tasting room, in a vineyard in production, now would be a great time to get in, and it's going to be an exciting time the next few years in the Finger Lakes, and you know, with businesses that have been were relatively quiet last year compared to normal years, they again are hiring, and it's a chance to, you know, really get involved in the industry. So if you are looking for some sort of position or thinking about it and wondering where, which lake, which winery, which restaurant, send me an email, michael@saverlife.com, and you know, let me know a little bit about, you know, what the types of things you're interested in and how far you would travel, and I'll try to get you some ideas on where to apply. But again, I've seen far more than I've ever seen, and I'm guessing that there are even more, because I'm not watching Facebook and Instagram and things that carefully right now. But whenever I do check them out, there are tons and tons of places that are hiring. And again, hiring at all types of jobs. So, and I've been talking about this for a long time, but I think the Finger Lakes is poised to really boom in the next 5 years. Things are going to change a lot, I think, in terms of investment and new wineries, new breweries, which continue to expand even faster than the wineries are, and distilleries, cideries, restaurants. And one example of that, I think, is the Gourmet Butter Shop that is soon to open, if it hasn't already, soon to open in Geneva. I was fascinated by that idea. They've posted, if you look them up on Facebook, they've posted a number of photos of the butters that they are making or going to be making, and they look pretty amazing. It's going to be interesting to see how they do, and adds another dimension to the culinary scene in Geneva, which is already the epicenter, I think, of the Finger Lakes in terms of the buzz, the excitement over food and farm to table, and it's just going to grow from here. So again, a Gourmet Butter Shop coming soon, if not already, to Geneva. I didn't see a note about an opening date yet, but it looks pretty amazing. And again, Geneva is only 45 minutes from Rochester, so it's just a great excuse to go to Geneva. On April 2nd, they posted their strawberry butter, which looks amazing. I really can't wait to taste that, and I'll probably be headed that way fairly often. Jalapeno lime butter, another one that they posted. And a gorgeous, raspberry blueberry butter. So it gives some great colors to this. And actually, if they do a beet butter at some point, which they probably will, since they seem to be doing both the fruits and as well as, you know, sort of more of a savory, like the jalapeno lime, that's going to give it, the butter, some really amazing colors. And I wonder where they got the idea to do this. I'm looking forward to interviewing them at some point in the near future about this idea, as I haven't heard of other ones like this around. I'm guessing there probably are around the country, but haven't heard of any. And part of their logo is a butter churn, antique butter churn. So they're on Seneca Street in Geneva. It looks amazing. So I don't believe that they're open yet. But they said it would be coming in April, and it's you may be able to order. They are available at Fox Run Vineyards right now, so you may be able to do order and do pickup, or perhaps you can pick them up at Fox Run Vineyards. So the gourmetbuttershop.com if you want to look them up. Again, a great addition to Finger Lakes wine country. If you have a favorite winery or restaurant, etc. in the region, send me an email, michael@saverlife.com. Love to hear more about it. The wineries have been working on a lot of projects this winter, and Glenora is just finishing their new deck, expansive new deck, and they did a contest for naming the deck. They had over 350 entries in this, and the winner was from San Francisco, actually. Interesting. I wonder how he heard about this contest, but his suggestion was Above the Vines, and that is the new name for the new deck, Above the Vines at Glenora. So it's more outdoor seating, and some great views of Seneca Lake. And this goes off of the south side of the winery. So it looks over the inn to the lake. And when they have their concerts, which probably will be returning this summer, I'm not sure. They haven't, and I don't think they've announced whether they are or not, but I'm guessing they'll probably be able to by mid-July and mid-August. That deck will look out right on the concert stage. It'll actually be a really cool place to watch. It's not super close, but you'll certainly be able to hear very easily, and it'd be a nice viewing area for concerts. And they always do two jazz concerts, except for last summer because of the pandemic. And I'm guessing that they are anxious to get back to having those jazz concerts. Also, Gene Pierce, who puts out his Glenora Gazette every Sunday morning, he says that this Tuesday, April 13th, is the 27th anniversary of this Glenora Gazette. And it didn't originally go out by email. It's been around that long. And he says that with very few exceptions, maybe a dozen, it's been sent out in one form or another every Sunday morning for 27 years. So you can subscribe for free at Glenora's website, glenora.com. And Gene covers kind of what's happening at the winery. Their executive chef, John McNabb, and his wife had a second son, this past week. And so sort of inside things like that, but also talks a little bit about the great program newsletter at Cornell. And he says, since the information in the great program newsletter is only intended for subscribers, we have to be very careful how we mention the same in the Glenora Gazette. If there's no Gazette next week, it is likely the editor has been hauled away to the dungeon at the Cornell Geneva Experiment Station. But you can subscribe to the great program for a fee. That's, again, associated with Cornell, not with Glenora, by going to Cornell's website. If you really want the inside scoop, and Gene says you don't have to own vineyards to sign up for that. One of the other things he covers in the Gazette, the temperatures, and particularly Seneca and Keuka Lakes. And Seneca temperatures don't seem to be reported that year-round, but Keuka's are. He says it's at 47 degrees, a rise in temperature of 4 degrees in the past 3 days, a sign of just how warm it's been in the Finger Lakes. Also, they are the Finger Lakes Great Program also monitors for bud damage, and they refer to this time of the year, the grape buds being de-acclimated, meaning that as the sun gets brighter and temperatures get warmer, they are less able to tolerate really low temperatures as they come out of dormancy. And so he says at the beginning of March, there's a potential for significant bud damage occurring if temperatures reached minus 14 to 18 degrees. So those grapes were in pretty good shape. We didn't get anywhere close to that. At the end of March, the first part of April, due to this de-acclimation, bud damage could occur if temperatures were in the 1 to 4 degree range. Also, we didn't get close to that. It says the weather forecast the next couple weeks indicates cooler weather, no temperatures below freezing, so it would appear the buds are safe until at least the 26th, according to the calendar, by which time we hope danger of frost and freezes will have passed. But we've experienced frost and freezes well into May in some previous years. And so we really have to get to May 15th is the official frost-free date in our area. And this is, if I say this maybe almost every week, but this is exactly why the lakes that moderate the temperatures play such a key role, so that if we do get a cold snap for a couple nights, the slope keeps the air moving, then the lakes also warm the air a few degrees. And that can make the difference between having a crop of grapes that's normal and having a huge percentage potentially of grapes lost. So, these lakes are beautiful, but there's a reason in terms of weather and climate and temperature that the wineries are clustered around them and making use of those slopes. Once the border opens with Canada, if you go to the Ontario Niagara wine region, you'll see a lot of wind machines, and you also notice that the land is very flat. So those wind machines look like windmills, and I think most people probably think they're there to produce energy, but they are propane-powered wind machines that are used couple of nights in the fall, a couple of nights in the spring for early frosts or late frosts come spring. So and there's a few of them in the Finger Lakes, a few near Glenora actually, where maybe there's been damage before or the land isn't quite steep enough. And so there are a few in the Finger Lakes, but it's an investment of like $40,000 to $50,000 for these machines that you will only use a couple of times a year. And it's really, it's crazy. But that investment, clearly pays off for the wineries. They wouldn't do it if it didn't, by, saving tens of thousands of dollars in losses of grapes in years where we have these rogue frosts and freezes. So again, the slope of the land is, and the lakes are one of the reasons that we don't need to have these wind machines and don't have to make those investments. So it's right now the border to Canada is closed, so we can't go and visit the Canadian wineries, and given the rise of infections here and in Canada, the border is not going to be opening anytime soon. At some point, maybe to people who have been vaccinated, but won't be visiting that region for a little while. But there are some fantastic wineries on this side of the Niagara River. Western New York, Arrowhead Spring Vineyards has been posting some great photos of their tasting room, which is virtually brand new, opened just before the pandemic. And it's really set a new benchmark for tasting rooms in Western New York wineries. It's large, it's beautiful, and it just it fits so well with the vineyards looking out on them and the wood used in the construction. It's gorgeous, and some really delicious wines. It's a little bit warmer wine region in Western New York, really kind of significantly warmer, and their reds in particular, they're especially passionate about their red wines. They also make a traditional ice wine and several white wines, but quite a few different reds. And they're just an hour and a half west of Rochester, just north of Lockport, and an easy drive and a beautiful drive, actually, with apple trees and cherries coming into bloom soon. Some of the cherries in Rochester are blooming. That makes a even more beautiful drive as you go by some of the orchards. Herd Orchards is on Route 104. Their farm market's not open yet, but if you are in need of a apple pie, they have frozen apple pies, and you can probably set up a time to meet them there to pick several of those up. I just baked one of their apple raspberry frozen pies this past week, and it was outrageously good. So, you know, again, some great architecture of cobblestones and some sort of quarried stone homes and businesses as you go out Route 31 or 31A or Route 104. I try and take a different route back just to see more of the countryside. And one of the last times I was out that way, stopped in Albion, and there's a couple cemeteries in Albion, but there's one on the left as you go into Albion that goes up a hill, and on top of that hill they have a stone tower with a spiral staircase inside it, which is very narrow and quite dark actually partway up. So be very careful. And your phone as a flashlight can be very helpful. But up at the top of that stone tower, which is might be three stories high, it's not that tall, but it's pretty cool. And you can see a lot of the countryside from up there, one of the highest points in that whole region. It's really gorgeous up there. And a beautiful old cemetery, too. Chris Clemens from Exploring Upstate introduced me to it, and also said there's a taco place in Albion called, I think, Lorenzo's, which is only open on weekends, but is supposed to be really good. So I got to get back to try that and go back over to Arrowhead Spring Vineyards. Oh, if you are looking for some ideas on where to go, where to visit, email me michael@saverlife.com. It's such a beautiful time of the year because you have some of the early trees and shrubs blooming, the forsythia, the service berries, the wild cherries, and then you have this lush grass, some of the other trees starting to leaf out. It's just so the colors are so vibrant. And even in the rain, some of the colors pop even more in the rain. So I'm going to be headed back to Highland Park this afternoon and bring an umbrella and enjoy what I think is the most beautiful time of the year in Highland Park. So many people wait until May to go see the lilacs, and there actually are a couple of lilacs blooming now in Highland Park. Only a couple, but there are some in bloom, and it's only April 11th today. It's not even really mid-April quite, and a couple of lilacs in bloom, but it's the cherries and the magnolias and the spring bulbs and all these other things that are gorgeous right now. A couple of azaleas have started blooming with some pinks and purples, so go explore in the rain. It's really, I mean, it's a mild day. The rain is light. It's just coming straight down. It's kind of perfect umbrella weather, and what a gorgeous time. There'll probably be fewer people in Highland Park because of the rain, but again, the next week or so, really my favorite times in Highland Park. So I hope you get over there and enjoy the colors. And again, something about the rain, the shine of the water on the leaves, and some of the colors are even better. And in talking with the winemakers in the Finger Lakes, I was talking with Vinnie Purdy this past week from Billsboro Winery. They were getting a little desperate for this rain. We had a dry year last year. Gene Pierce mentioned it in Glenora's Gazette that things worked out pretty well last year, but it was still dry. Winter was fairly dry. We didn't have the snow cover that we usually have. And we had some snow that stayed for a while, but I think we were way down in the amount of snow that we normally get. So the vines couldn't afford another dry spring and summer. And it looks like this week will solve that problem to some degree with a number of days of rain. And that will help the vines. It'll help the vineyard managers and winemakers sleep better, the winery owners, because, you know, it's hard for people who, you know, most jobs are not that connected to Mother Nature. You know, if there are obviously farmers and people who work in, you know, sort of the complementary industries, but, you know, in terms of the overall working population and jobs, it's a relatively small number. If you're a teacher or a banker or graphic designer or, you know, work in marketing, I mean, a nurse, a doctor, all kinds of jobs. The day-to-day weather plays virtually no role in your job. It might change what you wear. It might change your plans for recreation on the weekends, but it really doesn't have much impact on your job. And when you're growing grapes and depending on those grapes for the wine that you produce, the weather is everything. And you follow it much more closely than most people. And so, you know, I've worked in horticulture, landscape design, and doing that for 30 plus years. And again, the weather is everything. And I think it's hard for most people to understand that. And so, you know, I have a reputation with friends and family of, you know, the person to ask what's going to happen with the weather. Not that I'm any good at predicting it, but I pay attention to it more, and it affects me more. So, you know, when we have a drought, when things are struggling, the weeds are wilting, which is a really bad sign, it sort of psychologically has an effect on me. And in those terms, and it's kind of a negative way, but with the rain today, I have to say I'm feeling even more positive. It has that a positive effect. I can kind of sense that the plants are happy, and the winemakers are happy, and the vineyard managers. So it's it's spring rain, and it sure beats spring snow. So get out and enjoy the weather, and do some driving into the Finger Lakes, into Western New York, and discover what's happening at the wineries. The weather's warm enough that a lot of them can do outdoor tastings. There's also a Finger Lakes craft beverage conference this week, a virtual conference, and you can register. It's $75, and it's Wednesday and Thursday afternoons, and they have some fabulous panels of speakers that will be a part of this, and it's going to cover the range of craft beverage industries, you know, some about wine, beer, cider, distilleries, and you know, it's for $75, you'll get great insight, I think, into the business, the industry. Maybe you're thinking when you retire, you'd like to work at a winery. Maybe you're thinking when you retire, you'd like to start a winery. You'd like to change careers and do something different. This Finger Lakes Craft Beverage Conference would be a great place to start. And if you just, you know, you're interested in the Finger Lakes and what's happening and kind of a little bit behind the scenes of the marketing, the business, the recovery from the pandemic within the craft beverage industry, I think you'll enjoy a couple afternoons of these panel discussions. So if you want the link, and it's flxcraftbevcon.com. But if you want more information on this or anything else, send me an email, michael@saverlife.com. It's a gorgeous day. Again, I hope you get out to Highland Park or any of the other parks, but Highland Park in particular, because there's so much in bloom. Go back every day for the next 2 weeks if you can. It is the ideal time. We'll be back next Saturday with Gardening Restaurants, Discover the Finger Lakes. Michael Warren Thomas here at SaverLife.com. Have a great day.